Good morning and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. It is Friday, September 23rd. I'm your host, Eric Steven. The Dodgers rallied for two runs in the bottom of the ninth inning on Thursday to end a very long five-game series with the Diamondbacks. It ended with a walk-off single for Mookie Betts, who was pinch-hitting. The Dodgers didn't play all that well in the series. They scored six runs in the final three games, almost lost them all. They rallied for five runs in the eighth inning, down 5-1 in game one of Tuesday's doubleheader. Very plausibly could have lost the last four games of the series, but they end up winning three out of five over the 4 days. So I guess, you know, that's why they play the games, I guess. But Thursday was a fantastic pitching matchup with Julio Urias and Zach Gallen. Urias was pulled with one out in the sixth. It was a 1-1 game. His pitch count was pretty normal. I think he was 89 pitches, but like this falls under the sort of saving some bullets for October, I would imagine. And they also, Christian Walker was coming up. That was one thing, but I think part of it was definitely that, like, just look back to last October where basically, the Dodgers had three healthy starting pitchers. All of them were gassed in the NLCS, and it showed. So they're trying to save bullets whenever they can, I think, with that. But on the other end, no bullets needed saving for the Diamondbacks. And Zach Gallen, man, best pitch game I've seen against the Dodgers this year. Retired the first 11 straight, and then gave up a triple to Will Smith on a diving attempt by Stone Garrett in left. Then it rolled to the wall. And then Max Muncy hit one that just hit chalk down the right field line for a double to score the run. And then Gallen retired his next 13 batters. He pitched eight innings, 13 strikeouts, just dominant, left in a 1-1 game. The Dodgers trailed in the bottom of the ninth because Craig Kimbrell had his latest misstep. He allowed a go-ahead home run in the ninth to Christian Walker. He started the inning with a hit batter. It was a disputed hit-by-pitch. Jake McCarthy was pinch-hitting, was upheld on replay review. Jake McCarthy then tried to steal second. He made it, but then sort of drifted off the bag, and Gavin Lux kept the tag on him, so he was called out. So that meant, and the next pitch was the home run to Walker. So instead of a two-run shot, it was a one-run home run, which proved very consequential. However, for Kimbrell, it was his second go-ahead final inning home run to the Diamondbacks in the last 9 days. He's hit three batters in his last two games. The problem with him is really command. Like, he had that stretch where it started when he started playing Let It Go as his walk-in music. He had eight straight games with a 1-2-3 inning. The only blemish was the one time during that stretch when they asked him to pitch a second inning in Miami, and he walked 2 of 3, but then the Dodgers escaped after he left. But it's just generally like just having a problem like getting the ball in the strike zone or, you know, having quality pitches. And it's just he's really struggled. And Dave Roberts postgame was about as critical as he gets publicly about a player. This is from Sportsnet LA. This is Roberts talking about Kimbrell and his role as closer.
You can't hit the leadoff hitter with a breaking ball. You know, you strike a breaking ball, then you yank it to hit the batter. We got fortunate with the stolen base attempt. And I think that the breaking ball to, there's a walk in there after the homer. It was a 2-2, I think it was a 2-2 breaking ball that just rolled to Walker and he hit it out. So, I think the stuff is starting to slide a little bit, fastball velocity. I've just got to continue to look at this and, we've got to have our best guys, at the back end. So, continue to think through it.
I mean, the stuff is starting to slide. And we've got to have our best guys at the back end. I mean, man, that's as critical as Roberts gets. Like, he didn't outright say Kimbrel's not the closer anymore. But, yeah, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if he's sort of pitching in lesser roles his next couple times out, or at least something. But it's very clear they are in the evaluation stage of figuring out what his role is going to be now. You know, inevitably people are calling for, like, Kimbrel to not be on the postseason roster. I doubt it's going to be that. That's the problem with just generally dealing with stuff like this. We've seen it with Kenley Jansen for it was 3 years running, and then until he sort of broke the string in 2021 by pitching really well down the stretch. But once, if you demote your closer, it's not like he's off the team. He still has to pitch, and you have to figure out ways to sort of make him an effective reliever in the innings that he does pitch. So they've still got to figure out something with Kimbrel, but I think it's gotten to a point where they just simply can't keep running him out there in closing situations. So, because, you know, in a few weeks, the games start actually mattering a little more than they do at the moment. So, like we said, seen this. This is not new. So it was always going to sort of come down to this. They said it was going to, once sort of the, when the rubber met the road, they would make decisions. They did that with Kenley. He didn't close games in 2019 in the NLDS. You know, they brought in Joe Kelly instead of Kenley in the fateful Game 5. In 2020, he was used sparingly as a closer, and obviously Julio Urias closed out, you know, the NLCS and the World Series. They had other pitchers get saves throughout that postseason. I think we're going to see something similar with Kimbrel. He still could, like, put it together, and he just needs to find the strike zone. But, like, even if it's in a lesser role, they're going to need him in some capacity. But it's pretty clear that they're sort of at their end of their rope here with how he's been pitching. And, you know, maybe it's time to let it go. Who knows? Out of the closer role, at least. But, the Dodgers, with the win, their divisional record this year is 49-18, which is excellent. Their best divisional record by winning percentage was 1974. They were 63-27 against the West, 700 winning percentage. Now, you got to remember, back then it was two divisions only, what was it? It was 12 teams in the National League. So you had 18 games against your own division for 90 games, and then 12 games against the six teams in the other division for 72 games. So to get to 70, to beat 70%, the Dodgers would have to finish 54-22 against the division this year. So that means in their last nine games, next week in San Diego for three, and then the final six games at home against the Rockies, the Dodgers need to go 5-4, which would be their best divisional record ever. This dates back to 1969 when divisions started. But we'll talk a little bit more about what's coming up next before the Dodgers get back into divisional play right after the break. So Clayton Kershaw talked about his future with Dylan Hernandez at the LA Times this week. It was a very good article. I'll link to it in the show notes. Kershaw said in that article, quote, "I hold the right to change my mind, but as of today, I think I've got at least one more run," talking about coming back next year. He basically also, it was, like I said, very good article, touched on all the sort of usual talking points with Kershaw and, like, what his decisions are in terms of coming back, or where he's going to pitch with either the Dodgers or the Rangers, whether he's considering retirement. But he's healthy and productive right now, so he's not. He did say with Hernandez that basically, like, the only way he'd retire, at least now, is for health or performance reasons. Like I said, he's pitching excellently when he's on the mound, and he's relatively healthy. He had two IL stints for back stuff, but he's been able to sort of rebound from that and is pitching well now. This is another quote from Kershaw from the Post. "I don't want to be hurt. It's just a horrible feeling. You just feel useless. You feel like you're in the way. I don't want to deal with that anymore. So if I felt like I was going to get hurt all the time, I don't want to do that anymore. So it doesn't sound like he's there in a mental space of that yet. So I think it's going to be the same lure as last offseason, basically between the hometown Rangers or back with the Dodgers. I sort of felt since last offseason this will be an annual thing. You know, we saw it sort of play out that way last year. Honestly, like, Kershaw's earned that right. If he wants to pitch near home with his kids, four kids, two of them are school age now. So, like, they're with him in Los Angeles during the summer, but then they go back to Texas. They live, like, a short drive away from Globe Life Park. Globe Life Field now. Globe Life Park was the other one, the old one. I always forget. But anyway, and like I said, he's earned that. It would be one thing if the Dodgers were, like, pushing Kershaw away or making it so they aren't a team he wants to return to. But, like, that's the furthest thing from what's happening. Like, the Dodgers made it crystal clear they want him to be with the franchise for life. And they were, like, willing to respect his choice to go year to year. We saw a little bit of that sort of two-way play last year with the Dodgers didn't extend the qualifying offer to Kershaw when he was a free agent because they didn't want to rush his decision. It was sort of a sign of respect, mutual respect, I think, for both sides. And that's all you can really ask for, really. I still think for 2023, Kershaw's best option is the Dodgers. Like, the Rangers are, like, going to be, like, reasonably good probably at some point, but they're not going to compete for a World Series next year. It's just as simple as that. It's hard to see, like, what combination of moves would make them actually be a World Series contender. I mean, I guess adding Kershaw would help, obviously, but they're not particularly close right now. So I have a very hard time seeing him doing that, at least for 2023. But thinking for 2022, Kershaw's next start is Saturday, and that'll be against the Cardinals, which means Albert Pujols is coming to town. He did not hit a home run during the three games against the Padres, so he's sitting on 698 career home runs. I still think the best scenario for Pujols, just for him, is for him to do it in St. Louis to get the home run number 700, but obviously that's going to be a huge watch over the weekend. Since getting to the finals of the Home Run Derby at Dodger Stadium back in July, Pujols is hitting 313, 377, 657 with 13 home runs in 151 plate appearances. So those 13 home runs are, like, right in line with most normal humans leading after the All-Star break. I think the leaders have 15, including Mookie Betts. I'm among normal humans. And then there's Aaron Judge with 27 home runs since the break. He has number 60. That'll be another watch. It's funny, the first game of this Dodgers-Cardinals series is tonight's the final Friday Apple TV games. First game is Yankees-Red Sox, so they have a chance to call Aaron Judge's 61st home run. And then, you know, I guess if Pujols hits two home runs Friday, they can get to call Pujols' 700th home run. But Pujols entering Thursday when he was 1-for-4. I don't know exactly what his WRC plus is now, but entering Thursday was 192. It's not going to be that far off of that. Just an insane run for him at age 42, having an incredible year. But for the Dodgers going into the series, what's interesting now is, like, this time through the rotation, everyone is on 4 days rest, you know, sort of the quote-unquote normal rest, although it's, as you'll see in a little bit, it's not that normal anymore. Beginning with Dustin May on Wednesday, and then Julio Urias on Thursday, and then you have Andrew Heaney on Friday against the Cardinals, Kershaw Saturday. All those pitchers will be on 4 days rest. It's the first four games the Dodgers have had a starter go on 4 days rest in September. They've been stretching it out a little bit with a couple off days, and then also having Michael Grove spot start a couple times to sort of insert a sixth starter in there to give everyone rest. So Sunday starter is listed as TBA, but whether it's Tyler Anderson or Michael Grove, they both started Tuesday's doubleheader against Arizona. So either one of them would be on 4 days rest too, but then you have Monday's off day. And so the next time through, everyone's going to be on extra rest, and then it's just a matter of sort of tuning things up in that final series against the Rockies for the postseason, because that's it for the schedule. But I looked at this through Urias on Thursday. The Dodgers have had a starter go on 4 days rest 40 times out of 150 games this year. That's tied with the Padres for second fewest such starts in MLB. The Astros have the least with 22. It's hard to argue with the results, too. Like, the Dodgers and Astros have the best two pitching staffs and best two records in Major League Baseball at the moment. So, yeah. So, again, off day Monday. But first, up next is a three-game series against the Cardinals. Should be fun. Old friend alert with Albert Pujols, obviously. And it should be a good series. But, yeah, and then I guess something to watch is if the Dodgers have a lead in a save situation, who's going to close games? I'm sure we'll find out. Hope, you know, maybe once or twice over the weekend if that's the situation. But it's going to be definitely something to watch over the last there's only 12 games left in the regular season. We're running out of time, folks. But anyway, that's enough for today. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.